Well, welcome to Medical Matters for this Monday morning, and my name's Steve. I'm taking the place of Dr. Peter Heiner today, who hasn't been able to make it in, so you have to put up with me today, but I do have a very special guest in the studio to talk to this morning. Peter has spoken to him once before, and it's Brad Beer, and Brad is the owner and head physio of Pogo Physio at the Q Supercentre. Welcome once again to Medical Matters, Brad.
Thanks, Steve. Good pleasure to be here.
Now, Brad, just to, I guess, establish before I ask you some questions, we want to talk about shoulders today, but how long have you been doing physio for?
Steve, it feels like many, many years. In reality, I graduated from Griffith University here on the Gold Coast in 2005 with a physiotherapy exercise science degree. So I've been in practice for, it's actually 9 years, coming up to 9 years this November.
And you were telling me before we came on air, you were doing some calculations on how many different people you've treated over that time.
Yeah, Steve, I did that recently, and it was an interesting exercise. I added up, not every patient, but took the average of sort of, you know how many consultations I deliver a week, and it was over 21,000 treatments since 2005 November that I've now performed for Gold Coasters.
Wow! So give me a look at those hands.
They're still holding up strong.
Yeah, very good. All right. Well, we want to talk about shoulders this morning. I think most people will identify with shoulder problems. So maybe just in relation to the general population, what is the prevalence of shoulder pain in the population?
Steve, shoulder pain is very, very common. Recent research pointed towards the prevalence of shoulder pain being 16% of the population having a sore shoulder in any given month at any point in time. So, you know, that's a fairly large subset of the population. And if we extrapolate that further, unfortunately, of those people that have pain in any given month, 50% of those cases will go on to cause problems or pain, dysfunction for the person for up to 6 months. So it's quite a debilitating and very common condition in society.
Oh, I know many times when laying in bed with my wife and she'll say, oh, my shoulder's really sore. I'm sure a lot of people get that. They're very common. What about, okay, so 16% in the population, I imagine through people's lifetime, then everyone would experience something like that. So tell us a little bit about what kind of shoulder conditions can occur through a general person's lifespan.
Steve, I like to think of it in sort of three or four really distinct groups in terms of a person's lifespan. As a physio, we see a lot of children that come in with sore shoulders. Typically, Steve, when I say children, I'm talking about the teens, the sporting, very active teenage subset. And they'll often experience things such as what we call shoulder impingement, which is due to sports activity and some what we call instability around the shoulder. These children or teenagers are also susceptible to sometimes what we call, I'll explain as we go on today, but subluxations or even dislocations of their shoulder. And so we do see that with children. That's the most common, or they're the most common conditions of that age group. Moving on from there, you sort of look at your 20 to 40-year-old subset of the population, and typically when people present in that age group, we're dealing with what we call acute tendon tears of the shoulder. So that's where they'll be doing something. It might be a work-related activity or often a weekend social activity, sports, etc., and they'll feel a sharp pain in their shoulder, and it's often a tear of a tendon in the shoulder known as a rotator cuff tendon tear. Moving beyond that, Steve, we've got two other sort of age groups that we sort of break it down into in terms of demographics, and the next one would be the middle years, so, you know, the 40 to 60-year age bracket. Now, in this age category, you're often dealing with a combination of conditions, Steve. Certainly, we see frozen shoulder pop up in this age category, and I know we'll touch on this, I believe, as we go on today. We also see what we call degenerative rotator cuff tendon tears. And this is distinct to the active 20 to 40-year-olds that had what we call an acute tendon tear. Also, early signs of osteoarthritis can sometimes cause problems in the 40 to 60-year-olds. And then, Steve, moving on to into the later years, we will often see osteoarthritic changes of the shoulder joint itself and often in combination with that, some degenerative changes in tendons and some bursa-related problems as well.
Okay, so what can go wrong and cause pain in the shoulder then? What's the things that cause the pain?
Yeah, Steve, structurally in the shoulder, there's a few key pain generators. They've actually found that, and when I say they, I'm referring, sorry, to research and researchers, shoulder pain gets a lot of attention worldwide in musculoskeletal and sports medical circles. Steve, the main pain generator in the shoulder is what a structure we call the subacromial or subdeltoid bursa. And bursa is nothing more than a fluid-filled sac that sits in the shoulder. And if you can imagine, it's sitting between the tendon and the bone that lays above it. So its job is, as a fluid-filled sac, is to basically stop the tendon rubbing dry and rubbing itself off on the bone. But this can become inflamed and sore, and it has a lot of pain-generating what we call nociceptors inside of it. It's also heavily innervated from the neck, and so that's normally the main thing that goes wrong that gives people pain. On top of that, Steve, you've got tendons that can also contribute to pain, and you've also got the joint that can contribute to pain as well. So if you talk on structures, you've got the bursa, the tendons, and the joint, and they're normally the main pain-generating structures.
You've been practicing for 9 years, you said. You've treated 21,000 patients. What's the most common conditions that you would see as a physiotherapist then?
Steve, the most common condition by far is tendon-related problems of the shoulder, and they fall into two categories. Your acute tendon tear, which is the 20 to 40-year-olds typically can happen outside that age bracket, and your degenerative tendon tears. And degenerative tendon tears affect everyone. And Steve, some interesting statistics from the research is that 50% of 50-year-olds will have a significant rotator cuff tendon tear, and the rotator cuff is just the collective name of the tendons for the shoulder. At 50 years of age, 60% of 60-year-olds will have a significant rotator cuff tendon tear, 70% at 70 years of age. So you can see that as we pass through the process of life, we do accrue this slow and degenerative type change in the tendons of our shoulders. It's a little bit like a rope that's starting to just undo its or fray at the actual rope.
And no doubt very soon we'll be talking about what it is that you do to help that and to treat that. But what does nighttime pain mean?
Yes, Steve, nighttime pain is a real telltale for myself, or any practitioner for that matter, be it a general practitioner or another allied health professional, that, you know, there's a fair bit of irritation happening in the shoulder. And normally when a patient reports nighttime pain, they're suffering from what I mentioned before, the bursitis in their shoulder, the subacromial bursitis. You get changes in hormones that happen with your circadian sleep rhythm. So that's the natural rhythm that we have when we sleep. That affects things like cortisol, and that'll have an effect on the inflammation that's at play in the shoulder as well. So typically when someone's got some inflammation, they'll feel it worse or more of a night. So it's a real telltale sign that the shoulder's a bit grumpy and there's probably the bursa involved.
And that's the reason for all the questions you would ask people, you know, are you getting lots of pain at night? That would give you some indicators.
Absolutely. I make no apologies, Steve, when I see a new patient to say, look, I'm going to give you many questions, but the better questions we ask, the better diagnosis we make, and therefore the better outcome the patient gets.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned a term before, a frozen shoulder. What does that mean?
Oh, Steve, I'm pleased you ask. This is a fascinating area of medicine. Frozen shoulder is really a bit of an enigma in the medical world. And by that, I mean it's often attributed to a sore shoulder in layman's terms because someone's got loss of movement. And they'll often just colloquially refer to their neighbor over the fence, I've got a frozen shoulder. And yet when we assess someone that walks in that suspects they've got a frozen shoulder because they've heard that frozen shoulder creates a loss of movement, when we assess them, it's often far from it. It's a rotator cuff problem or something that we're looking at. But a true, authentic frozen shoulder, Steve, is an enigma because medicine doesn't actually know why they occur. What it is it's a global restriction of shoulder movement. And global just means that the shoulder will be restricted in three planes of movement: hand up to the front, hand out to the side, and hand behind the back. And a lead-in surgeon on the Gold Coast here who I've spent time with over the years. He has a saying. He says, you can almost smell a frozen shoulder in the room. And when you take in your history of the patient, you're starting to think, that shouldn't be how the shoulder's behaving. And so you start to get an inkling. So a frozen shoulder affects the movement, and it passes through many stages. It can take up to 24 months for it to actually resolve.
Wow. We're speaking with Brad Beer, who's the owner and head physio of Pogo Physio at Q Supercentre at Mermaid. And this is the Medical Matters program. We're talking about shoulders today. So, Brad, if I have a sore shoulder, what should I be doing?
Steve, if you've got a sore shoulder, firstly, it's important to know that help is there. And the sooner you act on getting help, the quicker and the better the outcome will be, typically. As I said at the start of our time today, that 50% of shoulder conditions will linger for more than 6 months. Mm. And if someone leaves it to 5 or 6 months, it's going to take them a whole lot longer, cost them a whole lot more to get the shoulder back on track. So first of all, act quickly. And secondly, see a health professional. As physiotherapists, we're very well versed to be what we call first point practitioners. So someone can walk straight into a physiotherapist, see them and start treatment. You don't need a GP referral to access physiotherapy services for the shoulder. Obviously, if you're a Department of Veteran Affairs card holder, or there's certainly other criteria that can have people come along and receive referrals via a GP to get treatment from a physio. But the key things are getting treatment early. In terms of home management or self-management, Steve, there's a few things that people can do, and one is to make sure they're stretching out between their shoulder blades. So as much of society is stooped these days from, you know, the effects of gravity, but also our sedentary nature, the position of our shoulders will irritate and perpetuate shoulder pain. So even just being aware of your posture, sitting up tall, imagine you've got a string lifting you up, little cues like that can start to change people's pain with their shoulder. If someone's really struggling with nighttime pain or it's really aching, then some little self-care strategies can include things like putting heat on it, which will create some reduction in muscle tone, which helps relieve the pain. Or if it's an acute injury, so someone's just hurt themselves on a sporting field, you'd obviously want to put ice on that for the first 48 hours. So they're really the things that people can do to start to get the wheels in motion of getting their shoulder looked after.
What about scans? What kind of scans are useful when it comes to shoulder problems?
Yeah, Steve, imaging does play a key part in clinically looking after people with sore shoulders. The most commonly requested scan that I'll send patients for is a diagnostic ultrasound. And the reasons for that are, one, it's more cost-effective than an MRI, and the patients can get a Medicare rebate. For people to get an ultrasound for their shoulder, Steve, they do need a GP referral. So often I'll link patients of mine up with their family GP to go and get an ultrasound, and often say to patients, this won't change the process of what we're doing in terms of rehabilitation, but it will help clarify prognosis, because if we find that there's a marked, you know, rotator cuff tear, it's just going to add time to the process. If we find that there's a bit of bursitis, there's other things we can do. So I do like to normally have imaging incorporated. So that's the ultrasound. The MRIs are useful for combinations and different shoulder injuries, often the traumatic ones. We want to look to make sure there's nothing being missed. And you can also have a CT scan as well. The difference, Steve, between a CT and an MRI is that a CT scan has doses of radiation associated with it. So where possible, it's nicer to go with an MRI if that's a consideration for people.
Okay, so what can be done by a physio then to help shoulder pain? So we've talked about all the different types of shoulder pain. What is it that you actually do to help this?
Yeah, Steve, as a physiotherapist, I approach, and our team of physios at the practice approach shoulder pain in terms of three stages of rehabilitation. The first is pain relief. You know, we help our patients relieve the pain in the quickest time frame possible. And that's a combination of hands-on therapy, so that's what we call manual therapy, and appropriate home exercises in between any sessions. And Steve, this phase of the treatment is one where, as a physio, we'll often be releasing tight structures, so tight muscles and a thing called the shoulder capsule at the back of the shoulder, releasing under the armpit. There's a muscle in there called the subscapularis. It's normally normally too tight for people with sore shoulders. We will, Steve, mobilize between the shoulder blades. You know, I mentioned a moment ago about the stooping. Mm. We need to actually get in there and physically get the spine healthier and moving so people can assume a good posture. On top of that, Steve, we'll sometimes do dry needling or acupuncture to help the tendons and reduce muscle strain in combination with, you know, home exercise. That's the first stage. The second stage, Steve, is about what we call functional rehabilitation. So that's just helping people. They've now reduced their pain. Go into being able to do their daily activities with the minimum of dysfunction. This includes a lot of strengthening type exercise and still some periodic hands-on manual therapy to help the shoulder be in the best position and heal. The final stage, Steve, and the third stage is what we call task-specific rehabilitation. So let's say you're a keen golfer or a surfer or like to play some lawn bowls with friends, whatever the activity, it's about making sure you can do the things that you love to do free of pain and free of ongoing problems. And that includes further strengthening, specific type exercise, and some hands-on therapy where needed. The key across all these three stages, Steve, is getting the shoulder in a good position and strengthening it. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on what way you want to look at it, that does involve some effort on the patient's behalf. There is no quick fixes for anything, and there's as much as sometimes people would like that.
And is there anything else that we can do at home to help shoulder pain apart from posture and things like that, which obviously would prevent a lot of that? Is there anything else we can do to ease shoulder pain?
Yeah, Steve, I mean, people are often quite intuitive with realizing that they should do some stretching. So there's sort of stretches you can do in a doorway to open up the chest. You can lay on trigger point devices like tennis balls or golf balls or little, you can actually, it's commercially available little, gadgets called pocket physios. You can lay on the ground and sort of rock that into the sore bits. But, it's one of those areas that it's a fairly specialized, treatment approach needed because it's a complex joint, Steve. It moves around a whole lot.
More than we realize.
Yeah. So, Steve, really they're the key sort of self-management strategies. Pain relief is something we haven't yet touched on in terms of medication, and people should obviously consult with their local and family general practitioner or GP in terms of the best pain strategies if they're in a high level or a lot of ongoing pain. That can include, Steve, things like Panadol Osteo for joint-related problems. So if someone's in their later years and happen to have some osteoarthritic change, then the GP might prescribe some Panadol Osteo, which can be very effective. And it can also include at times things like anti-inflammatories for irritation such as the bursitis we mentioned or some other conditions. So that's a really key component of self-care as well. Obviously, they're not ongoing strategies, although in the case of someone with the progressive or pronounced osteoarthritic changes, they may need ongoing dosage of pain relieving medication, but most people don't. So that's another tip.
Well, fantastic. Lots of good information there. And as we said right at the front, shoulder pain affects a lot of people. So it's been good to talk to you today. And thanks very much once again for coming in.
Steve, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me along.
And we've been speaking with Brad Beer, who's the owner and head physiotherapist from Pogo Physio at the Q Supercentre.